Okay, we left off yesterday. We were focusing primarily on the first half of the machlokes between Rabbi Yosi Gluli and Rabbi Akiva, in terms of Laila's Mantzvot and Avla. Well, now let's move into the second bar, and that's how does this machlokes impact the wearing of tefillah or the lack thereof on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yosi Gluli was after drawing water. Rabbi Yosi Gluli goes back to the posa. The extra letter man, yamin means mixus yamin. Yesh yam shetamaniach, yesh yam shetamaniach, and therefore you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the view of Rabbi Yosi Gluli. What about according to Rabbi Akiva? So according to Rabbi Akiva, l'chara there's no machor not to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. L'chara you should wear. It comes to Gemara and says, oh, keep it safe today. But according to another pasuk, the other pasuk is Shartim Yelsa Yadecha Yatsu Shavas Yom Tov Shein Atzmas Tzim Ois. Whenever it's a Zman Os, so there's no Chiyuv of Tefillin according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, truth to be told, one could subscribe to the first half of Rabbi Akiva that Chuka is not Tefillin, and one can also deny the second drasha of Rabbi Akiva. Two things are not always a gazette. And that in theory, one accepts Rabbi Akiva's version of a Shamarta, and one rejects Rabbi Akiva's additional added drasha of Oz, one can come to what seems to us to be a radical position that, in fact, you do it, Philip, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's possible. Not only is it possible, but there actually was some Tanoim who actually subscribed to this view. The Tanoim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara, the series of Tanoim, the whole Ray of Tanoim, tucked away in the end of the Sefer Erevin, he said in Hochinam that Rabbi Akiva is right about his first point, but he's not accepted about his second point, and therefore there is no Mokor. So the starting point is Yechayv and Tefillin 24/7, and there's no reason to exempt you, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Just as an aside, something which is, you have to like shake when you say this, a great trepidation to make the following statement, but the Gemara made the statement. If you really go down that route of that, those phantom Tanoim, whoever they were, who said that there is no Malka whatsoever to exempt Tefillin from Shabbos and Yom Tov, then Tefillin now becomes a what? The mitzvah say Shelo Hasman Grama, which carries with it an interesting corollary.
Women.
Maybe women should be wearing Tefillin. The same way we said that there's one Tana that says, many Tanoim will say, that tzitzis is not a Zman Grama. We paskin that tzitzis is not a Grama. So therefore, women up to Rosh. But the Gemara Menachos says that there's one Tana who disagrees. And according to that Tana, women have to wear tzitzis also. Again, we are not presenting this or misrepresenting this or saying anything radical and liberal and any other words you want to accuse me of right now. I'm just telling you how many judges presenting that the Gemara does present this real possibility that tefillin may not be, believe it or not, a mitzvah station is mangrum. But back to us, we're not going to go down that route because we do accept the mainstream view, we accept the Tanoim who say you do not wear tefillin shabbos in Yom Tov. If you notice in the Shita of Rambam, the Rambam has a very, very difficult formulation of his Shita because as we mentioned already yesterday, the Rambam was the lone Rishon who was still loyal to Rabbi Yosi Gluli, who possibly Rabbi Yosi Gluli let Laila's lives be filled with their Isa. And therefore, according to the Rambam, it's a no-brainer that Shabbos and Yom Tov are Lav Zman Tefillin. Based on what pasuk should it be a no-brainer? Vishamart, the same Vishamart, the same Yom Yamim. And for some strange reason, unknown at least to me, the Rambam decides to deviate from Rabbi Yosi Gluli's drasha, even though a minute ago he just said that Laila's Lav Zman Tefillin. So a minute ago he just subscribed to the drasha, and the next step of the drasha is to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. If the Rambam, strange enough, says no, and by the way, he asks the Rambam, how do you know you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? By the way, why? Oh, by now, good to know. Okay? Because Yom Tov, Shabbos, Yom Tov. So why did the Rambam need that? Very, very difficult to the Rambam. But when all the dust settles, whether you accept the Rambam by Laila or not, doesn't matter for our purposes. When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, Kuleyam or Twinkie, that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're a baseline. Yeah.
Could it be that he's teaching us that the reason for Shabbos and Yom Tov is an os, and that would imply that in other cases where you only have one os, then you would wear tefillin on Shabbos?
Yeah, so that one os, two os story, that when we were little kids, they tell us that. The reason why you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because up in Shnayim, Eid, Yom Tov, you only need two signs. So you have a perspiral with you all the time, and then you have the shabbat and so on. Right, it's a nice drush. Right, so that drush appears already in the late Rishon translation, but the Rishon point out that it's a drush. It's not nothing to do with that. If you have a person who doesn't have a perspiral, he doesn't wait till the shabbat. There's no such thing. So by saying, we have to address this point of the sugya almost along the same lines that we spoke about the previous day. So, namely, when we saw the din of Lael Alav Zman Tefillin, within that time, if you just include the Shesh Rambam view, the Lael Alav Zman Tefillin, remember we had a major question, what does that mean, Lael Alav Zman Tefillin? Does it mean Potter, or does it mean Usser? And what did the Gemara conclude?
Usser.
What said Usser? Could we borrow that same Shaila and plug it into Shabbos and Yom Tov as well? When we say that Shabbos and Yom Tov doesn't wear tefillin, you don't wear tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tov, does that mean potter? Or does that mean asur? So what do you think? How would you address this topic? But I'm not talking about the Rabbanit, I'm talking about the Hilchus Muktzah, yeah. I'm analyzing on the level of the Raisa. I have this din deraisa sitting in front of me that says, Shabbos loves Yom Tov, Yom Tov, I want to know, potter or asur? So the chara one can extrapolate, namely, if Laila in the world of Rabbi Yosef Lili translated to mean not just a tour, it meant an Isser, and the mokka for that Isser was the magic word of what? Shemarta. So then if you'd ask Rabbi Yosef HaGlili, you Rabbi Yosef HaGlili, Medina Rabbeinu, is it Usser to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What would the answer probably be?
Yeah.
Probably yes. It's the same possible, right? Bishamarta. Bishamarta is going on Laila. Bishamarta is going on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there's an Isser. So the Chara in the world, it sounds like it's a no-brainer that there's an Isser with tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Could one hesitate on that? Could one question that equation? But this is also by throwback to yesterday's year. According to Yosef, why is it Usser to wear tefillin on time for Laila? Remember, we raised the question. The question of Yosef Lili. Think of Yosef Lili. So we weren't exactly sure why it's also. Is it also because, is the thrust of the Yisr, is the nature of the Yisr, the fact that putting on tefillin at a time when you're putter from tefillin is a no-no? Is that what it's all about? Or is putting on tefillin at night intrinsically wrong because Shema Yishan Behem? So the Chora, that Nakuta we raised yesterday within the view of Rabbi Yosef Lili, we started, it's almost like a Chakira having children. We're already third generation of Chakiras. So we had a din Shabbat, we had a din Lael Alav Zman Tefillin. We weren't sure did that mean Potter of Osir, and we went night there that it probably means Osir. That's what the Gemara seemed to say, over B'Ezel, over Lav. So we were pretty comfortable with taking the approach that it's Osir. But then even with it being Osir, we had a further breakdown. What's the nature of the Osir? Is the nature of the Osir, don't get filled when you shouldn't, when you're not Chayim? Or is the nature of the Yisr because Laila is bad? L'chora, that child will have impact on what? On the Shabbos and Yom Tov dimension. Because if the focus, if the thrust of the Yisr of wearing tefillin at night, according to Yosef Lili, is don't wear tefillin when you don't have to, so then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, don't wear tefillin when you don't have to. But if you can tell me that there was something wrong with tefillin at night, there was something bad with tefillin at night, there was something detrimental with tefillin at night, namely Zer Shem Yishan, we're going to have to search high and low in Shabbos and Yom Tov and ask ourselves, well, wait a second, what's wrong with wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What's so terrible? So if once we take it out of the realm of just, when you pump it, don't do it, we have to find some kind of a rationale, what's wrong with it? What could possibly be wrong with wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Maybe nothing. Maybe a chag, maybe it's takamutter. Okay, so we have to start making up reasons. We have to start searching around for reasons. Okay, maybe those reasons are right, maybe they're wrong. I don't know. But again, I just wanted to train you how to think a little bit. Where we're going. So we started out with the din. Lion allows man children. Two sides. Osir, potter. The Marsik says osir, what's the nature of the Osir? Afkamina, what direction do we end up with when it comes to Shabbos and Yom
Tov? If it were to be that,
that
you're
part of the,
like, isn't
Baltosif? Right? But that's a whole other ballgame. I mean, maybe Baltosif, maybe. But Baltosif is going to get tricky. It's only when you have a Mitzvah. It's going to get a little tricky with the rules and regulations of Baltosif. So basically, this Shaila that we're raising this theoretical Chakira, came to a head in Hilchus Muktzah, so said correctly, in a Beis Yosef. In a Beis Yosef, that discuss is the following shadow. All kalim, for the Shabbos purposes, are broken down into fundamentally two categories, with kind of 2A and 2B. There's what we call a klishim lachta laheter. So give me a good example of klishim lachta laheter. Standard, chair. What's a kalim shim lachta laheter? Are you allowed to move klishim lachta laheter?
Yeah.
Well, that's a tricky question, because when I say, am I allowed to move something, you have to then respond and say, well, moving for what purpose? So how many different purposes can you have moving something? Moving is a very complicated notion. Three different ways. So there are three different reasons why you may move something. Think, man, like, you know, think through the day today when you move things. Why are you moving things? So sometimes I'm moving things and say, I want to sit down on the chair. So I pick up the chair to sit down on. That's the sort of gufo. I want to use the chair. Sometimes, let's say I want to walk over here, the chair's in the way, so I move the chair out of the way. I don't want to use the chair, it's called the tzorach makoma. And then there's a third reason why I sometimes move things. Why is that? The chavatzeh, which literally means out of the sun, I want to bring it to the shade, I want to protect it. I'm afraid it's going to get lost, it's going to get stolen, so I don't need it right now. It's not in the way right now, but I want to protect the item. That's the third reason. Those are the only three reasons why anyone ever moves anything. And then there's a fourth reason. What is that? No reason. Shalula Tzarkla. The guy's just, he's walking around, he goes to the shtender, he walks by, right? The guy fiddles with his pen a little bit, right? Okay, just no reason. He's not hiding with the pen, the pen's not in the way, he's not putting that pen, no reason. Shalula Tzarkla. So the correct answer to the question is, can I move a shtender, can I move a table, can I move a chair, can I move a cup, foot? Or is that any problem on Shabbos? So the answer is, three out of the four is okay. You can move it, let's say, but pashtus in the Gemara, you cannot move it, shelo letzarach. However, then there's the next set of kelim. The next set of kelim are called klisha lachal yisr. Can you move a klisha lachal yisr on Shabbos? Depends what you move it for. The tzarach gufo is permissible. The tzarach makayim is also permissible, unlike real mukzah. Contrary to popular belief, a pencil is not mukzah for Shabbos. I remember I was once living with a young kid, and I asked them, why are you not allowed to write on Shabbos? So you know what he said? Because the pencil is mukzah. Okay? So, Rabbi said, you're allowed to move a pencil, it's not really mukzah. It's klish mach mitzvah. You're allowed to move a goof or self. But, what? But, the chamotzeil, you're not allowed to do it. So a klishim lachtel het, a klishim lachtel yisr, both have certain limitations on them, but the line of demarcation is very, very different. Where did all this come from? Why are we not moving kalim on Shabbos? What is wrong with just moving shtenders? What's wrong with moving pencils? Where did any of this come from? So this is obviously all midrabbanan, no question about none of this. Isa is all midrabbanan. All these halachas were instituted, anyone know when? In the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, beginning of Baisheni, the days of Ezra Kedoyla, and the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos in the 17th parak that the reason why all these halachos were instituted is because there were problems with Chilul Shabbos. People were not taking Chilul Shabbos so seriously, and therefore Chazal wanted to up the ante a little bit, make it a little bit more chomer, and get people kind of back to where they belong. So the Gemara says that actually in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they added a few more chumras. I just presented you Hilchos Shabbos in the Yom Tov Tayalef, but back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, it was even more chumra. There were even more machlokes and limitations, even a little bit more chumra than when I presented it. And then as the years went on, the people started to get back into the Shabbos swing, so they kind of touched up a little bit and ended, leaving it the way it is. But what are they afraid of? What's going to go wrong with that new king? What's going to fit with a new king? So I'll come to use the shtender. I have a shtender. So if I move it slow, it's what's going to go on? What does Chazal have against moving cannons?
The guy's tishbos.
Oh, okay. So there's a big machlekes in Rishonim. What was behind this whole story? Forget about the details for a second. Why did any of this come about? Why are we not moving things with Shabbos? So the Ravid has almost the easiest pshat. The Ravid of the Shabbos, based on the Gemara, says, Beitza says, it's a simple pshat. You know what it's called? It was a gzeira atu chutzah. It's pretty good to carry it outside. The odds are, if you don't move anything, you're probably not going to carry it. If you start moving things around your house, next thing you know, you're going to go outside and carry it. So according to the Raven, basically, the Gemara in the Emerson of Beta, there was an outright gezeira across the board. Don't move anything on Shabbos, gezeira, you may come to take it outside. But, as I realize, it's very, very hard to live your life that way. So, you know, you can't eat, you can't pick up a sefer, you can't pick up a table, you can't move a table, you can't sit a chair. So outside, Chazal had to balance it a little bit. So on the one hand, they really, really wanted to come down hard with the gezeira shema, yotze b'shus b'shus. They really, really wanted to ask everything up to gezeira sotu hatzah. But they realized it's a gezeira shema, it's going to interfere with Shabbos, it's not shayach. So they had to kind of walk this tightrope and say, we're going to basically say, you can't move anything on Shabbos, but wherever we think it's important enough to be able to move it, we're going to lift that gezeira, so to speak. And now you have details. Buy a klish b'lachta lehed there. So there's more of a reason to be medical. Klish b'lachta lehed certainly, but more of a reason to be machmer. And they kind of walk this fine line to develop what we call the dinim of kalim bisman hazeh. That's a derived size of the sugi. The Rambam has a little tired of the shit. The Rambam says that Chazal had it in for moving things for the following reason. Lama teshuachas are great. They're wonderful. You know who? For people who work. For people who are retired, people who don't go to work, so Lama Tesla don't really meet all that much. You know why? Because ain't gonna work on Saturday, ain't gonna work on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Guy doesn't work, big guy, Google never works. So if he's not gonna work, not gonna do Malachas on Shabbos, it's not gonna be what's called the Shvi'is that he cares. Shabbos is supposed to be Shabbos Hashem, it's supposed to be recognizable that I'm Shemesh, the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if I don't work the rest of the week, it's not Nikus. If Chazal felt it was necessary to institute something that would be what's called the Shvi'isa HaNikeres HaShavu L'Kol. Everybody moves things, even guys are guys retired, still moves the shelter, still moves the table. So therefore they put certain limitations on moving things to create this new aura that Shabbos is different. And Ram says another reason. Ram says that Shalom Yehid to Tulcha b'Shabbos, Tulcha b'Chol, said we have to walk different, talk different, etc. So again, there are different reasons in the Rishayin and what the goal of all these halachas were. According to the Ravid, it was a plain, simple, straightforward gzeira at the Otzah. They just fine-tuned the details. But the Rambam, who was more of a philosophical, more of a general, spiritual, you know, atmosphere, environment, creation of Shabbos, etc. Bottom line is, we have these dinim, we have these categories, Klish B'Lach Lehet, which I'm saying. Within Klish B'Lach Lehet, this is a further breakdown. There's 2A and 2B. What do I mean by that? There are some Klish B'Lach Lehet that are very, very cheap. They're expensive, like a pen. So a pen, if my kid takes my pen and starts playing with it and tossing it on the toilet, I'm not going to get too excited about that. So that's a plain, simple Klish B'Lach Lehet. So again, mutter, it's up with pen. But what about my cell phone? I have a computer. I have a klisha b'lach l'yisa that's expensive. I would get, if my kid picked up my computer and started juggling it, I would get very, very annoyed with them. So that's called muktzu machmas chisor kiss. That means the klisha b'lach l'yisa is a plus. So it's not only something that's designated for malachas, but it's also an expensive benefit that I'd be very upset if you use it for something else. And therefore, that is elevated to the highest possible level of muktzu. That's called muktzu machmas kufa, muktzu mamish, and can never be moved under any circumstances. Except under maybe a total minatzah, possibly in the Mufogim, those are exceptions to our discussion. So come to Beis Yosef, from the very, very beginning of his Muktzah, and has a machlek, it's one of the earlier Paiskim, about what are tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. As a pair of tefillin, I have three possibilities. Either a pair of tefillin is Klishim Lach Tal Heter, or a pair of tefillin is Klishim Lach Tal Yisr, or maybe a pair of tefillin is a Muktzah Chazor Kiss. So strangely enough, the Beis Yosef only quotes the first two possibilities. So the Beis Yosef quotes an earlier source that says that tefillin cannot be moved unless it's a tzarek gufa mekaymai, because the dinam ki klisha b'lach tal yisur, because you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. And says the Beis Yosef, really? Really? You're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? Vishtei, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? Shabbos and Bob's going to tefillin? And he said, it's awesome. It's potter. Potter doesn't mean potter balasa. In other areas it means that, not here. So therefore the Beis Yosef says that first early poskim wanted to declare that tefillin are like pencils or not right. Tefillin's like a shtem, they're not like a pencil. Strangely enough, neither of the two says, hey, wait a second, tefillin, if my kid would pick up my tefillin, it's not. Forget about the fact that it's never kadosh. Even if it costs a lot of money. Tefillin goes for $1,500 now. So you're gonna be very upset if the kid plays around with the tefillin. So I would have said, if I was voting against the Beis Yosef and against the early post, but I would have said, it's the worst. It's the tefillin, machlas, chisor, kiss. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach suggests that you're right, you know, Chidami really should have been Machos Chazer and Kis, but Tefillin has something going for it that other Muchas and Kis don't have. Namely, it's a new category, a new fangled category called Kis V'Kodesh. So if you learn Muchas Muktzah, you realize Kis V'Kodesh is like an exception to everything. Sefer Torah is like, Kis V'Kodesh can't possibly be Muktzah. So therefore, Tefillin can't really, for some technical quirk, can't become the real Mekor, can't become the real Muktzah, even though, based on the regular rules, they probably should have. So the worst we have to put Tefillin, the worst box that Tefillin do, is Klishim L'Apkul Yisur, and the Beis Yosef says even that's wrong. So this Machlekes that's tucked away at the beginning of Chos Muktzah is really a Chos Tefillin Machlekes. It's really Yashayla. It's really a question, are Tefillin ultimately also to be worn on Shabbos, or not? I'm not sad that they're also to be worn on Shabbos. What's also about it? What's the problem? And when it came to Laila, so we came up with a half-baked reason of Zer Shem Yisha. On Shabbos, what could possibly be the wrong? We have to start searching in the world of Jerush quasi halacha. So we came up with an idea before. What was the idea? It's a bizarre into the Yisrael Shabbos. It's almost like saying, Shabbos, you're not good enough for me. I need tefillin to get me close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shabbos doesn't do the trick. What is the Yisrael of Shabbos? So that's an issue. That's a chidush. That's an issue. So again, there was one long time in the Shit and Tanoim that you do wear tefillin on Shabbos. You know, that was rejected a long time ago. Within the sheikhs that you don't, we're not still not 100% sure, is it potter or is it asr? But the real main question, also the most relevant question of our entire discussion is, it's going to lead us off to the next week, the most famous part of this also is, what constitutes Shabbos and Yom Tov for these purposes? Shabbos, we know exactly, Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Yom Tov, we think we know what it is, but we're not quite sure, because there are a few days, Pesach Sukkot time, we go Chol HaMoed that we can't quite wrap our hands around to figure out, is that Yom Tov? Is it Potter and Tefillin? Is it also an alternative with Tefillin? Is it Chayim and Tefillin? We're not quite sure. The reason why we're not quite sure is that we don't really understand something in the circuit. We really don't understand Rabbi Akiva's drasha properly yet. Rabbi Akiva said everything revolves around what magic three-letter word?
Os.
Shabbos is an Os, and Yom Tov is an Os. Any ideas what makes Shabbos and Yom Tov an Os?
Os
Yom. Because the Apostle says Torah says so? That's what's called an Os? Malacha? Any other ideas? There are certain mitzvahs that you do special on Yom Tov? I don't know, I'm not sure. So we have a lot of work to do. Hopefully it's Shabbat Sunday. We're trying to figure out this point. What is the characteristic of Os that a Apostle and Akhidim would have?